All right, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter number 10, please. And verse number 21. Exodus chapter number 10, verse 21. When you find your place there, we'll all stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Pray with me as I read this. My eyes have already appreciated beyond what the military has given me to wear here. It's not the easiest thing really to see, but I'll do the best that I can, all right? And we're in the book of Exodus, chapter number 10, and verse 21. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord. For our cattle also will go with us. There shall not be an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself. See my face no more. For in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face no more again. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour and the good singing this morning, the choir. What a blessing it is. We thank you for visitors. We do pray, Lord, for those that are away from us today, sick, and those that are afflicted that we've been praying for, those of our people that are home. We ask you to give them help and divine grace today. May the Spirit of God breathe upon us, speak to our hearts. May you, Lord, love us today and help us to understand that great love that you loved us with even while we were yet sinners, that you died for us. I pray that you will touch the message and bless it to the hearts of people. Help me, I pray, you'd fill me with the Spirit of God, with power and unction. Grant liberty in the house of God. Bind the devil. Bind anything, Lord, that would hinder God from doing what needs to be done today. And we'll thank you for the souls that are saved and for the ability to magnify your precious name in doing it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 21 again this morning. Is where Moses says here, And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now I want to preach this morning on this thought, and hope the Lord will give me some help with it as I go down through my notes. But I want to preach this morning on this thought, a nation left in darkness. A nation left in darkness. You know, the locusts in the preceding plague came upon Egypt like a thick cloud. And then, by the power of God and His divine grace, mercy is once again granted to Pharaoh and his people. And the locusts are carried away. And the Bible said there's not one of them left in the land. You know, I'm so thankful that God has been merciful up to this point. Amen. For every time Pharaoh has asked for forgiveness and asked God's help in taking away the plague, Moses has prayed and God has granted that that prayer to Moses, and the plague has been lifted. And so it was this time. All of the locusts were carried. There was not one of them left in all the land of Egypt. But devastating destruction is left in the pathway. The Bible said that Egypt is destroyed. Know ye not that Egypt is destroyed? If we can imagine this morning the damage that the hail did to the crops, to the trees, to the beasts, to the plants, to the people, to all things that were there, and then behind it comes the locust, and they're devouring everything. They're leaving nothing behind. They're eating up everything. They leave the trees as a stubble. All of the greenery is gone. They've even invaded the homes of the people in the palace of Pharaoh. And they've been a terrible plague. But right on the heels, no sooner are the locusts departed that the Lord instructs Moses to stretch out his hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. And he said, even darkness that can be felt. And there was thick darkness over the land of Egypt 3 days. Now, I don't know, and I know, really, that I've never experienced a darkness that can be felt. But they did in the land of Egypt. This was a darkness that they had never experienced before in all of their life. I've seen darkness come from great thunderstorms and rainstorms that we've had, and even from tornadoes that swept through the land. I've seen their black funnels as they reached down to the ground and how dark they were. But they're not anything to be compared with what took place in the land of Egypt when that darkness fell over the land of Egypt. The Bible said that they saw not one another. They saw not one another. Neither any rose from his place. He couldn't get up. They couldn't see one another. Where they were when the darkness struck is where they were when the darkness lifted. They could not move from the place that they were in. For 3 days. But all the children of God in the land of Goshen, the Bible said that they had light in all their dwellings. Isn't that a marvelous thing? If you stop and get a hold of that, and I'm not criticizing the Egyptian people. I'm not downgrading them in any way. But I'm telling you, there is a division once again made between the people of God and those that are lost. Lost people set in darkness. And someday, if they don't get saved by the grace of God, they'll set in eternal darkness. But thank God that you and I that have been born again, there is light in our dwellings. Now that's a message in itself. There's light in our dwellings. The Bible said, Christ said, I am the light of the world. That tells me that Christ was in those dwellings with those people, protecting them from the darkness by giving them the light that he had within himself. Amen. And so the children of Israel sat there in their dwellings in the light. I want to mention a few things about darkness, about a few different species or things of darkness. I want to say, first of all, that there is a spiritual darkness. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, now what a blessing that is. God made the light shine out of darkness. There is a spiritual darkness. And men sat in darkness. And they could not comprehend the light in John 3. When the light, the Lord Jesus, came to them, they sat in darkness. But they could not comprehend that light because they were in darkness. But thanks be unto God, the light shined out of that darkness. And you and I, by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, comprehended that light. And it lighted our soul and illuminated our hearts. and enlightened the Lord Jesus to us, revealed the Lord Jesus to us, and by the grace of God and faith in what we believe Christ, who He was and what He was doing, God birthed us into the family of God. We ought to rejoice over that this morning. I'm not groping in darkness today. I'm walking in the light of the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, a man that's lost is walking in darkness. But you and I that are saved by the grace of God are walking in the light of the Lord today. What a blessing that is. Hallelujah. And I don't have to worry about ever being in darkness. I was in spiritual darkness. But there came a day when Jesus came to where I was. And the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ shined upon me, and God opened up my understanding and gave me knowledge concerning the Son of God, and I was gloriously born again into the family of God. And if you're saved, you were too. What a blessing that is. Now I want to say, secondly, there is a sinful darkness. And somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean a sinful darkness?" Well, and some of you, don't miss my point on this. Calvary. I see there a sinful darkness. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, the Bible said in Luke 23:44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the reason being was because during that time, Christ was made sin for you and I. That darkness represented the sin that man had committed. And that darkness separated between the Son of God and God Himself. That's why He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" But the real truth of it is that darkness typified the sin that separated fallen man from God. But I'm glad that there on the cross, that Christ reconciled us back to God, and the darkness was taken away, and the light once again shined upon you and I by the grace of God, and we were born again into the family of God. But the blessing of it is that Christ was made sin for you and I. Oh, what a thought there. In those 3 hours, the sin of mankind was laid upon the Son of God. During those 3 hours, laid upon Him, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I've got to hurry. I won't say there's a solitary darkness. And I don't like this at all. But the Bible said in Matthew 8:12, and I'm not going back there to read it all, but Jesus speaking, He said, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Solitary darkness. I'm going to be honest with you. From what I read in the text that I just read this morning, that they could not move from where they were, and I'll say more about that in a minute. I want to say that I don't believe that in hell, in outer darkness, that man will ever be able to see man. All he'll ever be able to see is that darkness around him and possibly the Jesus on the very throne of God. That rich man that died didn't say one word about seeing anybody around him. His buddies wasn't there. They might have been there, but he didn't know it. He was isolated in outer darkness. He was living in solitude. Can you imagine living in solitary confinement in total darkness, outer darkness? I'm talking about a darkness that can be felt not for 3 days like in Israel, but for all time and eternity, living in that darkness, unable to see anybody around you except what is above, and realizing that you missed heaven and you could have been there, but you rebelled against God and refused to believe and died in your sins and went to hell. There is an outer darkness. And the Bible said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, how terrible that's going to be on lost sinners. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. People in pain and agony and torment in that outer darkness. Then I want to say fourthly, and I'm coming to the message. I want to say fourthly that there is a judgment darkness. And it's found right here in the verse. "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched out that hand. And you know, it's amazing here. Doesn't say anything about that shepherd's rod. Cast thy rod this way over the water and this way. Just stretch forth thine hand. Stretch it. Stretch it. Get it as far as you can. Stretch it toward heaven. That there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Even a darkness that can be felt. And I'm going to get to it in a minute. But that darkness was God's judgment upon their sin and their idolatries and their sin. That's right. And their gods that they worshiped. Now I'm going to show you something about those gods in just a minute. But that judgment darkness. Now, this darkness came without warning. Moses didn't say to Pharaoh, if you don't get right, I'm going out here and bring darkness. He just simply turned and walked. He just simply walked up to Pharaoh, said what he had to say, turned around and walked away and stretched out his hand. And God brought darkness upon the land without any warning. Can you imagine how you and I would feel in this building this morning if suddenly, without warning, without any warning at all, that there was such a darkness came into our place of being in this church that we could not move out of the seats that we were in for fear of what may be around us. So dark that you could not see that person sitting next to you. I'm telling you, that's dark. I've never been there. Glad, thank God, I'm not going there either. But they sat. This darkness came without any warning whatsoever. I want to say, secondly, that the Egyptians were left in blindness. They were totally blind. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now they're blinded. Now I'm telling you, hey, they're living in that spiritual blindness. Totally blind, unable to see that glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these Egyptians were blinded in that way. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there was light over in the dwellings over in Goshen. But over in the land of Egypt, they lived in darkness. I'm going to tell you why. They represented sinners. They were representative of sinners that are blinded by the prince of this world, by the ruler of darkness, by Satan himself. They're blinded in their minds that they cannot understand. And if you can't understand, you'll never hear the truth. And if you never hear the truth, then you will never be born again. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I read a book the other day, a message the other day, by DeWitt Talmadge, on the ear. And it's an amazing thing. And I thought about how people get saved. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, I'm afraid, claiming to get saved the wrong way. The Bible still says that, hey, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now I'm going to tell you, that man went into detail what's down in that ear and what it's made out of and how sound gets down into it. And he even went so far as to say that those ears had enough ability to take the voice of God all the way into the soul of man, that man might hear God through the ears into the soul and be born again by the grace of God. Oh, I'm glad that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing not by a magazine, not by reading the Man in Black. Amen. Amen. That's right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And by the way, it didn't say that faith cometh by seeing. It didn't say that faith cometh by reading. It said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know me well enough to know I'm not against reading. And I'm telling you, faith comes by hearing, folks. That's right. Always has and always will come by hearing. And hearing, not just anything, but the Word of God. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Amen. Now, I want to say thirdly, the darkness rested upon Egypt. The Bible said that the darkness just rested there. It didn't go anywhere for 3 days. It sat there in darkness. They sat there in darkness. And you know something? I believe that darkness, the Bible said it was a darkness that could be felt. That tells me that they had a physical pain. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand it. But I'm telling you, it's getting awful dark when you can feel it and bring physical pain to your body. But the Bible said it was a darkness there that they could actually physically feel in their body. And I'm going to tell you what was worse than that was the agony that they felt in their soul. It's one thing to have physical pain. It's another thing to have pain in your soul. Now I'm telling you that there was so much agony there that it drove all the way into the soul of those Egyptians. They felt that pain. They felt that darkness, not only skin level, but brother, it went so deep into their bodies. Amen. And touched their soul in affliction. Better believe it did. Yes, sir. They had physical affliction. They had agony of soul. I'm going to tell you something else. They had great fear. They had great fear. Somebody said, "Preacher, how do you know they did?" I'm going to show you in a minute. I don't want to tell you right now because I've got a thought on down the line. But here's a thought for us. 3 days of darkness. And there sits a mother over yonder in the house. There sits a child over in the corner of her own house. And that mother hears the cries of that child, crying for help, for somebody to help it. But there's no way that mama can help it. The Bible said they stayed in their place. They stayed where they were. They couldn't get up. And they couldn't see. It doesn't say they couldn't hear. Can you imagine the awful pain and agony in a mama's or a daddy's soul to hear their little child sitting off in the corner of their house weeping and crying and begging for mama for help, but there's no help there to be had because God has smote them with a darkness that has separated them not only from God, but from the very families that dwell in their house. Somebody said, "You're nuts." No, I'm just telling you what the Bible's got to say, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible said they sat there and couldn't move in that house. Can you imagine a man hearing his wife pleading for help? Maybe a woman that he's been married to for a number of years. Maybe she's afflicted. Maybe her body is afflicted from some disease or something of that nature. And she needs help constantly and he can't get to her to help her. And she's crying out for help. You're talking about agony. I'm telling you what went on, ladies and gentlemen. What went on wasn't something. It's not a fairy tale. I'm not reading you a fairy tale. What I'm reading you is the Bible. And that Bible is true. Every word in it. What I'm telling you today, there was a time in our history of the world that it actually took place that a darkness fell in on the land of Egypt that was so dark it could be felt. They could not get to their children. Husbands couldn't get to their wives. Wives couldn't get to their husbands. They rested there for 3 days in that darkness that could be felt. How agonizing to the soul. I can't imagine that. For me to be in a house with little Kelsey or little Kinsey and hear her crying for a bottle of milk or to get her mama to nurse her and her mama can't get to her to nurse her. There's no way. That's agony, folks. That's torment. That's misery. But I'm telling you, people that live in darkness are in that kind of misery, that kind of torment. And you stay right with me, okay? Stay right with me. Any hope that they had probably after 72 hours had faded away, leaving them in great despair. Can you imagine sitting there hour after hour, not knowing how long it was going to last? I'm going to tell you something. Come on, listen to me now. We get ourselves in a pickle. If we know how long it's going to last, we'll bear up under it a whole lot easier. But I'm telling you, get yourself in a bind and you don't know how long you're going to be in that bind. I'm going to tell you, it'll bring some real agony. I mean, suddenly upon you. Amen. Fear will strike you suddenly not knowing how long or it's going to be there or what's going to happen to you while you are there. Amen. If you don't believe me, ask my boy sitting there. He wanted to go deer hunting one day and he wanted to use my climbing stand. And the bottom climbing part fell out from under him. And he tried to get down that big pine tree out there in Nebo where Tammy and Steve live, and his hand got caught under the steel bars of that climber, that top, that seat, and there he hung up there on that tree by his hand and couldn't get off of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that had been me, I'd have been screaming bloody murder, buddy. I'd have been wanting some help. Not knowing how long I was going to have to hang there. I'm telling you, I've been in some pickles like that myself. I was swinging on one of those big steel cables one day, swinging out over a creek right down below where her brother, Brenda's brother, lives right now, Jeff. And when I was a little boy, and my leg fell down in that loop on that cable, and I couldn't get it up. It wasn't big enough to get it up. Then her cousins called it being in the mouse trap. They said, "He's in the mouse trap, boys." I couldn't get out. There I am swinging backwards and forth over that little branch of water. I wouldn't have drowned in it, but the thing of it is, I couldn't get my leg up out of that thing to get out. Somebody said, "How'd you get out?" I don't even remember. But it took a while of struggling and laboring and working, and I began to panic thinking I wasn't going to get out of that thing. But I got out. And here's these people for 72 hours sitting in a darkness that can be felt. To them, it could have been 72 days or 72 weeks or 72 years. They had no earthly idea how long it would be. But I'm going to tell you something. There will be no doubt in the mind of a man or a woman that dies and goes to hell. When God casts them into outer darkness, they're going to know. They're going to be there forever and ever and ever. They won't have to worry about ever getting out of it, folks. They'll be there forever. Amen. Now you listen to me. And I told this to my boy today, sitting at the house, and this is something that I have never before seen in my life in this passage of Scripture. But I want you to notice this. If I can find it here, I believe I can. Angels of darkness and evil were in the midst of them to torment them. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Harl, I don't believe that. You can believe what you want, but I'm going to believe the Bible." Here's what Psalm 78 and verse number 49 says about it. It says, "He cast," now talking about all the plagues, it said, He cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them." I wonder when those evil angels were there. I don't have a thing to prove it. I'm just taking this off the cuff. But I've got a feeling. The Bible said the angels, some of them are chained in outer darkness till the time that they're released by God. I'm going to tell you something. I really believe that those evil angels were right there in that thick darkness. They live in darkness, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine? I'm talking about fear. Can you imagine sitting there not knowing who's around you, where you're at, or how to get away from where you are, and all at once you start hearing screeches and moans and groans that you've never in your life heard before, and you don't know who they're coming from? They don't sound like human beings. They sound like some other creature that you've never heard, and you're sitting there and you can't see them. All you can do is hear them. Even if they walk up beside of you, you can't see them. All you can do is hear them. And there you sit wondering what's going on. And the Bible said it was God's wrath and indignation that He was pouring out upon those people. Now, y'all, would you get a hold? Hey, we don't shout over people going to hell. But I'm going to tell you, Lord, to give us something to shout about this morning to know that we was over in the land of Goshen, spiritually speaking. Now, I'm just looking ahead when all this was taking place. While they were over there experiencing this, we were over in on the other side. Then I want to say the darkness also was a type of Satan's kingdom. Notice what the Bible said in the book of Revelation and chapter number 16. Revelation chapter number 16 and verse number 10. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness." Full of darkness. "And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Do you reckon that could be somewhat like those in the land of Egypt? You reckon that the pain that they felt, that they were so dark that it could be felt that they were gnawing on their tongues for pain? You reckon they blasphemed God? I'll say they probably blasphemed the God of heaven for what God had done to them and bringing that plague upon them. I wouldn't be at all surprised if some of the people didn't blaspheme Pharaoh. Called some of his servants even said, hey, don't you know, hey, these men, how long will you let these men be a snare to us? Don't you know by now that Egypt has already been destroyed? How long are you going to let this go on? How long are you going to let this go on? And I can see them gnawing on their tongues for pain. That's right. They blasphemed God. They were full of darkness. Then I want to say number two. Not only the darkness, but the confinement. And this won't be long. Verse number 23, and they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. There they sat in total confinement. Now I've already mentioned this, but I want to say it again. They were isolated from those in their own home. They sat. The Bible said, they saw not one another. Separated from people in their own home. Terrible. Dark. Couldn't see one another in their own house. They were not only isolated from their ones in their home, but they were separated from one another. It said, neither rose any from his place. They couldn't even meet one another. They couldn't get out of the place they were sitting in or laying in or squatting in when this darkness took place. Then I want to say they were securely bound by chains of darkness. It said, neither rose any from his place. They were bound. Now, I'm telling you this morning on the authority of the Word of God that every sinner that is in darkness is bound in that darkness. Right. There is only one way, friend, to be loose from it, and that's by the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that while they, and I'm not glad they were there, but I am glad that while they were there, that God's people sat over in Goshen in the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you even more than that. I'm glad that you're looking at the man, and I'm probably looking at some people out there likewise, that there came a day in your life when you sat in that darkness like blind Bartimaeus, had never seen light in your world, and Christ passed by your way, and you cried out, hey, David, the son of David, Hosanna in the highest, have mercy on me. And I'm going to tell you, that old blind man got up and run to Jesus and said, Jesus, what would you have me to do? He said that I might receive my sight. And I'm going to tell you, brother, first time in his life that blind man saw light. He saw light, ladies and gentlemen. What a blessing it is to have light in our lives. Amen. Rather than darkness. Oh, we'll get to something here in a minute. I'm glad I've got the glorious light of the gospel. Amen. Aren't you? Now, I see the conquering of their idolatrous God. I want you to notice something. This was God's judgment on the God. I'm going to pronounce it this way. Osiris. It may be Osiris. Who was worshipped both as a common ancestor and a Lord. He's just one of our people. But he's also a Lord. Do you see the likeness there? Christ rose up among his people. He was of the Jews, but he was also their Lord. And here is a sun god that these people. Now this makes sense if you just hold with me, bring it right to a right, draw it right into a net. These people worshiping this sun god. In fact, many of their kings in Egypt, their name was Ramses, and Ramses means born of the sun. Heliopolis. A city is called a city of sun. Potipharah, who was a father-in-law of Joseph, Bible said was a priest to the sun god. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you what I'm getting. Hey, listen now. They worship the sun. And God is getting ready to conquer another God, another idolatrous God with a little g now in the land of Egypt. God Almighty is getting ready to prevail over another false God and the idolatry that's in the world, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, hey, there's coming a day when He'll put down all idolatry and all sin. And like the choir sang this morning, He's still on the throne, thank God. I'm telling you, He'll never be dethroned. He's on the throne now and always will be on the throne. There's coming a day when He'll conquer all sin and all idolatry and wickedness and ungodliness that's in the world today. Better believe He will. Now, stay right with me. The darkness magnifies the victory of God, or the prevailing of God over Egypt's sun god. The sun they worshipped. Listen now. The sun they worshipped done what? It gave them light. It gave them light. But along comes a man by the name of Moses and lifts his hands up. And that light that they believed in, the sun and the moon, no doubt, at night, and they worshiped it as a god too. But there's the sun and the moon both covered, and they can't even see their God. Our God, our great God, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus, has once again prevailed over the gods of Egypt. Amen. Hey, and here's the catch to it. He did it that they might know that He is the Lord. But oh, I felt sorry for them, because apparently there was few of them. There was a mixed multitude that went out. But apparently there wasn't many of them that believed on the Lord. They died in their sins in the land of Egypt. They died in their sins down there. That's right. The sun they worshipped gave them light. But the light they needed was not the S-U-N. It was the S-O-N. Amen. They needed Jesus. Boy, Brother Steve hit it right this morning in Sunday school. I'm going to tell you something. People need Jesus. If I can do anything at all, I want to point you to Jesus. I didn't die on Calvary. Jesus died on Calvary. They didn't know preacher shed His blood for you. Christ shed His blood for you. They didn't know Dr. Doolittle go to the grave 3 days for you. Amen. Christ went to the grave for you. Amen. Nobody wasn't a preacher that got up out of the grave. It was Christ that got up out of the grave. And it's Christ that I want you to follow this morning, not Brother Hall, but follow Christ. Amen. Now get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. 3 days and three nights, 3 days of darkness in the land of Egypt. Are you listening to me? 3 days of darkness while Christ was on the cross. Are you following me? 3 days of darkness while Christ was in the tomb. But I'm going to... When He got up out of the grave, son, I'm telling you, the light rose out of the grave. And when that light got up out of the grave, it expelled all darkness forevermore. Are you listening to what I'm saying? 3 days of darkness in Egypt. 3 days of darkness on Calvary. 3 days of darkness in the tomb. But oh, when He come out of that tomb. Thanks be unto God. The light of the world come out of that tomb, ladies and gentlemen. And He began to light up things. Hallelujah. Men began to preach the gospel that he that was dead is alive. And guess what? He's got the key to hell and death about his girdle. And he that was dead is alive, and he's alive forevermore. That's His wonderful name. He's not coming to come back on the cross. He's not coming to die on Calvary. He's not coming to go back to the tomb. Son, He's coming back to rule and reign upon this earth. Hallelujah to God. Woo! You realize in heaven, that's why it says there'll be no sun there. He'll be the light thereof. There won't be darkness in heaven, because Jesus will be there. He'll be the light of it, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Thank God, that's right. They, Israel had light in their dwelling, so they had Jesus over there. No God. It was a nation left in darkness. They had no God. Now, stay right with me. This darkness also represents, stay right here now, the shadow of death. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? You know what the next plague was that fell on Egypt? death of the firstborn. No men and women that are in darkness. What follows that darkness is death. And I magnify the Lord Jesus all the way through this thing. He's building upon plague upon plague upon plague, trying to reveal to them who He was and what He was doing. Well, no, they wouldn't believe. They would not believe. Those 3 days and three nights, when the shadow of death came upon them, they're not like David. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Hey, he might have been in the shadow of death, but there was a light in, not at the end of the tunnel. There is a light in the tunnel.
That's right.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? If they had no light, absolutely none. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. This next plague was a final plague, and it was a plague of death. And death always follows darkness. Then I see the comfort of God's people. See, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They had the light of the gospel. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
That there came a day when God lightened your heart, put light in your soul, and illuminated Christ to you. Aren't you thankful for that day when you heard somebody preach the gospel?
Amen.
You heard the truth about you. See, we don't want to hear the truth about ourselves. We want to pretend that we're good. There ain't one of us in here good. We're all bad.
Amen.
I won't say it again. We're all bad.
Amen.
But thank God we're saved in the grace of God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Because when the light shined in, God let us know just how bad we were. And I'm going to tell you, when the light shined in, brother, we repented and turned toward that. We didn't run away from that light. The Bible said in John 3 they wouldn't come to the light, but us that are saved, we didn't run from that light. We turned and ran to that light.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. Yes, we ran to that light. That light of the gospel shined in our soul. Saved us for the grace of God. I want to thank God for the liberty that we have in the gospel. That darkness bound them. They could not move. But oh, what liberty we have today.
Amen.
Not liberty to sin, but liberty not to sin. Being saved by the grace of God and the Spirit dwelling within us gives us the ability, the power to resist sin.
Amen.
We don't have to go out here and wallow in sin every day. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you've got the Spirit of God, He'll let you know when you are in sin.
Amen.
I believe that's right. Thank God for liberty. Hallelujah. Liberty. Unbound. He opened up my prison cell and let me free. Like a bird out of a cage. You open that cage door, son, I'm telling you, that bird take the fly. He opened up that cage door for me and I took the flight and found liberty. Amen to God. That's right.
Amen.
And then the love of His gospel. Oh, what love that He said, I'm going to make a distinction right here. He said, when He told Moses, He said, stretch out thy hand that there may be darkness. I'm glad that He added, over the land of Egypt. If He hadn't have said that, there would have been darkness over the whole world. If He'd have said, let there be darkness, there'd been darkness over the whole world, folks. If He'd have said, let there be darkness over the land of Egypt. And I can't imagine. Can you imagine the people sitting over in Goshen and they look and there's a wall? And it's a wall of darkness. And they're in light. And they dare not enter into that darkness. In fact, I don't believe they could. You can believe what you want to believe. I believe if you're saved, you're saved by the grace of God. You ain't going back. I don't believe they could walk through it.
Amen.
Darkness is a barrier between saved and lost. Those that are in the light and those that are in the darkness. And I'm going to tell you, when Moses was finished and Pharaoh called for him, said, you better not see me anymore, because the next time you see me, you're going to die. Moses said, "You have said correctly. I'll see your face no more." And I'm going to tell you, the next thing that happens is that Paschal lamb slain, the blood put on the doorpost of the houses. And I'm going to tell you, when that death angel passed through the land of Egypt that night, the Bible said a great cry went up.
Right,
in every home, there wasn't one spare. In every home, there was a cry went up. Because the firstborn in every home died. Pharaoh called and said, "Get out of here." But God wasn't done with that boy. He said, "For this reason I've raised you up, that I might show my power in you." And he put it in his heart to take off after Israel. He followed them to the Red Sea and into the sea. Couldn't get to him. All that pillar of cloud was there. But when God dropped it, after Israel got through, Egypt headed into that sea, they all died. The darkness brought death. And it will again today. If you're here and lost, you better let the glorious light of the gospel shine into your heart and soul. Let's stand together.